Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If Jimmy doesn't interrupt today. We'll do church news. No talking. Radio tried earlier in the week to get to church news, but Jimmy kept interrupting another. You're doing it again. It was the producer God gave me. Let's get to some. Aren't we amazingly quick to blame anything but ourselves? And I actually have scientific proof that we will always forever look outside of ourselves. The scientific proof is lawyers. If you have something go kafritz in your life, there is a lawyer who is quick to take your case so that you can get what's coming to you, whether you were wronged or not. But I have more than scientific proof. I have biblical evidence. The first story in the Bible, God asks, hey, did you eat that fruit? It was the woman you gave me. Blame game. We always are quick to point a finger at somebody else but ourselves. If you'd like to be happily married, you need to turn that finger around. I think that might be the best piece of marital advice. If I had to counsel a couple, which, Jimmy, this is very exciting. The Alpharetta Bible Church, mm-hmm. which was begun on December 24th of this last year, our little church plant is growing up. Jason is going to be counseling a couple. That's right. They're getting married, and we're going to be doing marriage counseling. In fact, just this morning, I was looking at Wayne Mack's book. I just literally looked at it and handed it to Jason. By the way, Jason, not only is he pastoring at Alpharetta Bible Church, but he's also the director of the Fellows Program here at Gospel Partners Media. I handed him the book by Wayne Mack. It prepares people for marriage. And Wayne is, well, first of all, he's smart, he's biblical, and he's been married for about 80 years. And I'm almost not exaggerating. Wayne is, he might be 90 or older. And he and Carol Mack have been married, I'll bet, 60, 70 years. And they've wrote a number of magnificent books. Sweethearts for a Lifetime, I think is the name of one of their books. Sweethearts for Life. And their marriage, the in-laws book. You got to get the in-laws. You got to get it, even if you are married. Because not only does it help you deal with the in-laws, we work through it here once at Wretched, but it also helps you understand why you get so agitated all the time with Princess Buttercup, who is so wonderful, and now she's so annoying. And conversely, when Princess Buttercup discovers that, I think Wesley, is that the Princess Bride character? That Wesley, what do you mean he can be a jerk? I never saw that before. What happened? This is a switcheroo. If you do not understand that you come from a family of origin and you bring stuff to the marriage relationship that you think is the way that everything should be done, fold the towels this way, put the silverware in the drawer that way, in the dish, stack the dishes. Okay. I can't say this is family of origin. I have an issue. You say, Friel, an issue. Here's one of mine. How we put the dishes in the dishwasher is actually a thing for me. Because I think we should be putting, just listen to how pathetic we are. When I say we, I mean myself. That the coffee mugs need to go in the center because they're heavier. And the glasses, which you don't want clinking around because they could break, should go in the outside racks because it's got that little wall that keeps them kind of safe and tight. And if you don't do it that way, how dare you? And then I need to move them. Well, what in the world is that? Well, it's called pettiness. And a lot of that is brought in from our family of origin because that's the way that we did it. If you're thinking about getting married, wherever you happen to be living, look around and create a conflict with everything you see. All right. So, for instance, I am now going to sit in my living room, imaginatively, and I'm looking at the, we've got two chairs. They got two pillows. The pillows should either have the zipper on the pillow down or at least sideways to be covered by the arm of the chair, but the pillow zipper shouldn't be on top because that's unsightly. You say, you kidding me? I'm telling you, you'll fight over such things. You look at the fireplace. Do you like gas? Do you like wood? How should the logs be arranged? How do you start a fire? This is the way we shouldn't do it that way. The flu needs to be in this. Where does all of that nonsense come from? Probably family of origin, because that's the way that you did it. And that was the preference. Look around. How do you, cooking is a big deal. I'm telling you, cooking as a couple is a marriage revealer. And you should, if you're thinking about getting engaged, and that's a Wayne Mack article that I want to print up. It was like signs you shouldn't get married. And one of them might be you cook together, because there are several different ways of doing it. You either clean up while you're cooking or you clean up after. And if you've got a different take on it than your spouse, congratulations, you've just walked into the fertile soil of acrimony. There's different ways of cooking. Use the bare minimum number of utensils so that you don't have to wash them, or just get her done. We'll clean up later. That can reveal a family of origin issue. You bring that to the party. And just knowing that is so helpful. But that would not be the number one thing that I would encourage. If I were going to be doing marriage counseling, the number one thing that I would be focusing on is sin and forgiveness. Sin and forgiveness. Sin and because it's going to happen. How do you deal with it? How do you clean the carpets when there's one sin stain after the other? Because it is going to happen. You think it's not. It will. Believe me, it will. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'll bet John MacArthur and Patty MacArthur, Patricia, they've actually had disagreements and arguments. That's right, I said it. How do I know? Because they're two sinners. And that's what happens when two sinners get into a household. They're going to fight. And if you are not fully prepared for that, if you're not ready for two sinners to collide with one another, it's just going to be super rough. Okay, I take that. Maybe the other emphasis would be understanding what marriage is. It ain't there to make you happy. It's there to make you holy. And that's a radical difference. And if you don't have that straight before you get married, and if you're doing marriage counseling, don't just be chewing your gum and going, got it. No, think this through. Long and hard, and maybe play it out in advance and be ready for it. Because no matter how much you prepare, the storms are going to hit. But the more you prepare, the more you have the barricades up, and the more you know how to do cleanup, the happier you will be and the less fighting you will have. But once again, we digress from church news.
Sorry. I know. You failed to mention the biggest disagreement in a marriage, however.
Is?
Leaving the cabinet doors open.
See, look, we've all got them. We've all got them. how you arrange the food in the pantry. Now, which shelves does it go on? Here's one. You either think, okay, well, we'll clean up the pantry and then just use it and then clean it up again, or you're of the mindset, you clean up the pantry and you keep it organized as you go, then you don't need to clean it up again. And that can be a fight. Mm. You don't think so? Watch and be ready and recognize that much of that is family of origin, because that's the way we did it in our house. We changed the oil 2,500 miles, because you just don't want to be found on the side of the road. And why are you waiting to almost 4,000 miles to get the oil changed? I need to call 1-800-DIVORCE now. You don't believe me? Ask somebody who's been married a long time, which would be another thing that I would say is mandatory in doing marital counseling. The young couple has to have meals with three older couples in the church, and they need to talk about nothing but marriage and the first year of marriage. That's it. And they will learn so much, and maybe, just maybe, they will come to believe before they say, I do. Oh boy, marriage ain't about happiness. It's about holiness. But we digress. This is Wretched Radio.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, Seasons 1 through 3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, Seasons 1 to 4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, Seasons 1 and 2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched Store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical, teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Greg Gifford. Of course, most of you have already met him because he has been with Gospel Partners Media for quite some time now as he hosts the Transformed TV series and the Transformed podcast. Dr. Gifford, of course, is an expert in biblical counseling. He's currently the assistant professor of biblical counseling at the Masters University, and he's a published author with works like Helping Your Family Through PTSD and others. We are so excited about the continued content that he will produce going forward as this new initiative launches later this year. Think Christian Daily Wire. And your support can help us bring more voices like Dr. Gifford's to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign today, where every dollar you're able to give will be matched. All the details are at wretched.org/fellows. Together, we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
He's back. This is Wretched Radio. A few days ago, a YouTube video or Instagram or whatever the venue is that the kids use these days to announce, hey, I know I'm totally disqualified from ministry, but I'm making a comeback. That, of course, is one Carl Lentz, a former Hillsong pastor who admitted to a whole lot of marital infidelity. I'm very glad their marriage is intact. I hope it is healthy. I hope they are happy at home. I truly do. But now he's coming back because this is a pattern that we see with pastors who have fallen. They can't imagine doing anything else, so they have to return to the same thing and do it again and try to get away with doing it, even though a lot of people would scratch their heads and say, what are you doing? So a few days ago, he and his wife released a video that was kind of a teaser, super highly produced video, kind of moody and, ooh, something big is coming. Well, here it is. Ready? Podcast. He's going to do a podcast. I'm not sure a teaser with the type of production quality that they had has ever been used to promote a podcast. Look, I love podcasting. And if you're not listening to the Transform podcast with Dr. Greg Gifford, you're just missing out. It will bless you every single week. And excitingly, we are adding a number of new podcasts. You know about our Fellows Initiative. Brad Bigney. We think we're going to go with Thriving with Brad Bigney. Because marriage shouldn't just be about surviving. It should be about thriving.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been doing marital counseling now for so long. And he's so practical and biblical and so helpful. And he's... I don't know what sort of caffeinated beverages he consumes, but wow, that guy's got some energy. Yes. He is a lot of vitamin B, maybe. I don't know, but wow. Even his emails are kind of amped up. And he's going to be an outstanding podcast. Love podcasting. Not sure about this title. We're still kind of debating this title. Dr. Adam Tyson. He's a pastoring out in California. He's also an adjunct professor at the Masters University. He's going to be doing a podcast. Ready for this one? Okay, I'll tell you what. You can help us. Tell us if you like this title or not. I'm not trying to do like a, hey, and comment below if you've got some experiences with Niagara Falls. No, just tell it because it would be helpful for us. You can text it to 877-282-2337. 877-282-2337. The podcast, potentially, because it's aimed at younger men, is called Dude with Dr. Adam Tyson. That's it.
Really?
Dude, you don't like it?
No, you're going to make me say it like that.
Dude. See, it depends. There are all kinds of varieties of what you can express with the singular word dude. And by the way, speaking of Gen Zs, Mrs. Friel sent me a text with an image, and I'll share with you the source of this. And this is just not something to mock. It is, I think at this point, undeniable that the generation that is coming up, it's profoundly different. And I am not just not a fan, I am absolutely opposed to the pejoratives and the attitude toward this generation. When you eat at dinner, you know what you're eating? Whether it's good or bad, it's what was prepared. It's what the ingredients were. And so you, to yell at the final product, it was like, whoa, it was the ingredients, how they got put together, the temperature, did they stir and simmer enough? Should have had some more salt inside of it. That's the same thing with this generation coming up. To just see a generation that is vastly different than, well, pretty much every preceding generation in Western civilization in the last 200 years, I don't think it's helpful. We got a generation that is different because they've been parented differently. They have been educated differently. They have had a cell phone connected to their person 24/7. And here are some of the consequences of that. This is from, well, I don't know who this, they posted this. This is, oh, Fox News. During job interviews, employers say recent college graduates have brought a parent to the interview 19%. Jimmy, did you ever bring mom or dad to a job interview?
No.
No, I remember getting kicked out of the house. Go get a job. That was my parental involvement. Yeah. You're getting a job. You're in seventh grade. We need the money. Go. And I was actually told, Friel, we don't care. Thanks for listening. I was told, you go walk up and down. It was this long street in St. Paul, and it had all of the fast food restaurants, grocery stores, retail. Start at this end. Stop at every single place. Every single, fill out a resume, and don't come home until you're done. That was my parental involvement. 19% of Gen Zers say they bring a parent to a job interview. 21% refuse to turn on the camera during a virtual interview. 27% used inappropriate language. Now, by the way, inappropriate language, that one, we have to, I think this is helpful to remember that words do change. And what one generation thinks is a foul word, another generation might not. So I might be willing to cut a little slack there. 47% dressed inappropriately. They showed up looking like they were going to go to Arby's as opposed to a job interview. 50% asked for unreasonable compensation. And 53% of recent college graduates struggle with eye contact. Now, I'm telling you, I don't need Jordan Peterson to tell me why, because probably he'd just tell me what Freud thought anyway. Because we don't make eye contact anymore. That's just not what we do. And by the way, eye contact is a very intimate expression. Looking in somebody's eyes, looking into somebody's eyes deeply, looking into somebody's eyes closely, it's like, okay, that's like, there's something about that. And they're uncomfortable. Why? Could it be that they spend 8 hours a day looking at electronic images and not engaging with other human beings? Could it be because pretty much everything about our advancements in technology and in commerce and in transportation are all about, I don't think this is the intended consequence, but it is a consequence nonetheless. Our system is set up so that we don't communicate with one another. You place your order at the Chick-fil-A on a little, now you can talk to a kid. And by the way, I got to tell you, Jimmy,
what's wrong? You like Chick-fil-A better than Zach's?
I might be coming a backslider.
I can just see it in your eyes.
But it's the deep. See, I've never had the deep fried chicken sandwich at the Zaxby's. Mm. So I'm going to have to try it. I've only had the deep because the grilled chicken at Chick-fil-A, it ain't so good. They're deep fried sandwich. Oh, man. And they're starting to put more salt on their waffle fries. Now we're talking. They're getting my attention. They run you through that place. It is a well-oiled machine. But a lot of these places, you order on a kiosk. Oh, I was just in a place the other day, and it's like, oh, I know. I had to go get some blood drawn. And I walk, there's a woman sitting right there at the table. Right? There she is. She got the computer. Hi, I'm here to sign in to get my blood drawn. You can register right over there. And she pointed me to two kiosks. Yeah, but you're just sitting right there. And you and I could talk about it, and I tell you my name and my birth date, and I could talk to you about my insurance. We could actually talk to get over there and register at the kiosk. And that conversation didn't happen. And that's our culture. And the kids these days are feeling the effect. Shake hands with a 20-year-old. Shake hands. And you're gonna pull your hand back and go, Yeah. I don't know what it is about shaking hands. Jimmy, I think you will affirm this. Sometimes you'll see a guy, you'll shake hands, and even if you just kind of hit wrong, mm-hmm. where you're that little space between your thumb and your knuckle on your pointer finger, you don't like hit deep
yeah.
and hard and shake it like a man. It's like, yeah. I think I just met Justin Trudeau, which is how I imagine he would actually shake it. Or you get the little tippy tip thing at the end. Oh, no, do over. We got to do this thing again because there's something about handshaking and the upcoming generation, part of which is because they don't go to church and learn how to shake hands. They don't learn how to communicate with somebody in authority. They do not learn how to make eye contact. It is coming out in our Gen Zers. This is not fodder for mockery. This is fodder for an opportunity that the church could be there to help them with these things. Another benefit to the local church. And that way, when they listen to podcasts, they'll benefit from it, which Carl Lentz is going to be doing a podcast. See what I did right there, Jimmy? We just came all the way. The question is, should a disqualified pastor actually be doing a podcast? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, a 74-year-old woman who was pronounced dead by staff at a nursing home in Waverly, Nebraska, was later discovered to still be alive after being transported to the funeral home. According to reports, the woman who was in hospice care was believed to be near death when staff declared her deceased around 9:45 yesterday morning. However, as funeral home workers prepared arrangements, one employee noticed the woman was still breathing. She was promptly moved to the hospital, and the Lancaster County, Nebraska Sheriff's Office is investigating but has found no evidence of criminal intent thus far, just probably a little bit of laziness. Moving on, Judith Butler, the so-called grandmother of queer theory, has made a disturbing admission in a recent interview. She acknowledged that her work has licensed pedophilia and teaches children how to become homosexual or that they must become homosexual. It's not surprising for anyone with common sense who's been seeing that and seeing right through this facade since the beginning, but it is sad how this has infiltrated public school curricula with so many just letting it slide by. The sexualization and indoctrination of children with these radical ideologies is alarming, to say the least. In comedy news, or lack thereof maybe, Canadian comedian Rob Schneider had his act cut short recently at a fundraiser in Canada last weekend after making jokes about the pandemic policies, COVID vaccines, and transgender issues. The Hospitals of Regina Foundation, which booked Schneider for the sold-out event that raised over $350,000 on Schneider's name, issued an unconditional apology and scrubbed any mention of the comedian from their website. However, I bet they didn't give back the money that he helped them raise. Schneider, known for his politically incorrect humor, later told TMZ that he will not apologize or change his material, saying, "Enough with this wokeness. America is sick of it." Apparently, comedy just can't be comedy anymore. Well, journalist Chris Rufo has exposed the disturbing anti-Israel and anti-American curriculum that was created by the Portland Association of Teachers Union for children as young as kindergarten. The Teach Palestine materials refer to Zionists as bullies who stole land by force, blame Israel and the U.S. for settler colonialism, and encourage kids to chant slogans at protests. Lessons connect Palestinian resistance to U.S. history and promote militant chants like "resistance is justified when people are occupied." Alrighty then. The blatant indoctrination is being foisted upon impressionable young minds under the guise of education. Yeah, they said they were coming for our children, didn't they? Parents, be on guard. Your right to raise your children according to your values is under assault from all angles. And that's today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Lexicon. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fallen pastors and podcasters, this is Wretched Radio. See, that was kind of fallen pastors and podcasters.
That could be the title of his new podcast.
We just recorded a video to talk about the Southern Baptist Convention, which is coming up. It'll start this week and it'll go into next week. We all need to be cheering and praying for the Southern Baptist Convention. There's the law amendment, I believe, which is simply meant to even strengthen the complementarian position inside of the SBC, because there are, according to the video that I saw, and I think it was Mike Law, and it was a little bit old, but he said there are almost 200 known female pastors in the SBC, and probably a lot more, and I happen to know that there are a lot of churches that are putting adjectives in front of the title pastor, as if to say, well, it's not like, you know, that in First Timothy, it's got an adjective in front of it. Okay, here's a question for you. If I said to you that I'm a youth doctor, you go, oh, so you're a medical doctor? No, I just do all of the things that a doctor does, but it's just for youth. So it's not actually a doctor. It's just doing the things a doctor does without actually affirming the obvious title, which represents what I'm actually doing, because I'm just doing it for youth. See what I did there? And that's the same thing with youth pastor or whatever you want a division. The word pastor means pastor. And to even change it and do chin boogie to words like minister, it's an office. The medical professional would be a little bit agitated that people were calling themselves medical doctors. No. I'm medical doctor. I'm a tall medical doctor. Well, but you're still calling yourself a medical doctor. Well, I do the things, like when I see people, I always have a popsicle stick and I stick it in their mouth and telling them to say, ah. See, but I'm a tall medical doctor, so I'm not violating your little principles about what makes a doctor a doctor. And that's what people are trying to do with the office of elder slash pastor slash bishop, whatever the title is. You can't just put an adjective in front of it and say that's no longer really, well, that. It's a different form of that, but it's not actually that. Or you call somebody a senior pastor, because that is all that Paul was addressing with Timothy in 1 Timothy 2 and 3. The problem is he never uses that term. It's pastor. Not senior pastor is restricted to men. The office of pastor, it's God's way of doing it. You can choose to not like it. You can choose to think, I wish you wouldn't, but you can choose to think that it's sexist. But that's God's prescription for how the church, the entity that he cherishes, the entity that he is busy building, is to be run. So the Southern Baptists are going to be going at it again on this issue, and we'll be covering it more next week. But Jimmy, in doing the video, encouraging them, cheering them on, please, once and for all, put egalitarianism in a coffin. Nail it shut, put chains around it, and then put it in a hole and pour concrete on it and bury it 20 feet deep. Do not let it rear its head again. And I tried, for the sake of, you know, being congenial towards Southern Baptists, I tried to use alliteration.
Oh, you did.
Fail. Just plain fail is what I did. The one that I remember, too, we were talking about pastoral plagiarism, AKA cheating. And I said the three problems are lying. You're being deceptive. It's lazy.
Yeah.
And then the third point was going to be that it doesn't help a pastor progress in holiness. Couldn't find an L word for that. Couldn't find an L word to save my life. So this is how it goes. So then it's like, okay, let's try M. It's masking the truth. It makes you lazy, and it masquerades as holiness. There, I came up with three-pointed alliteration. It ain't my gifting. Question. Carl Lentz, who was a pastor, who fell a lot publicly and hard, now doing a podcast, and he's doing it specifically to help people to learn how to recover from really big, bad mistakes. And so presumably it will be from a Christian perspective. Jimmy, I got a question for you.
Okay.
How should we view Carl Lentz doing a podcast?
Yeah. Just because we know how we feel about him, I think.
I'm pure.
Right.
So I don't have those things that might cloud my judgment.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you do.
I'm just saying that there's some initial hesitancy to think that but it's not in the confines of the church. So I don't know that I have an issue with him doing a podcast.
Yeah. Here's where I think it gets cloudy. If he were going to be doing a podcast on how to change your oil, rock on, dude. Cool. It's the teaching. So yeah. I'm gonna be teaching you how to live as a Christian. And granted, we should all be doing that. So here's my prediction. I don't think that we could say the guy is sinning, because you're right. It's not in the context of the local church, but it's really doing what a pastor does in a local church, and that is teaching people. But I don't think that the podcast is the new chapter. This is the stepping stone.
Oh, I'm sure this is testing the water.
This is testing the water. And look, you want to hope all things. But I got to tell you, when somebody starts playing in the territory of acting like a pastor when they have been disqualified from being a pastor, you know, this story ain't done being written. Now, could a pastor ever who had fallen, for instance, do an interview or even do a podcast to say, hey, pastor, let me tell you what I've learned about falling and what I wish that I had done that might be helpful? That seems like I can understand. I'm just not sure that's what Carl is up to. Church story number two. Wow, are we making time? Korean Methodists, there aren't a ton of them, but they're thinking about cutting ties with the UMC. Jimmy, what's the biggest Protestant denomination in Korea? South Korea.
I have no idea.
I do.
Methodist?
No.
Okay.
Go ahead. You want to keep guessing?
No.
Presbyterians.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because the first missionaries to South Korea were
Presbyterians.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so they just have a bigger footprint. You ever come to Atlanta? Very international city. And it's fascinating because people do tend to live in pockets. There are some towns that are very heavy with a particular ethnic group. I remember in St. Paul, Minnesota, in the old days, because I remember my grandfather telling me this. He lived in Little Italy because his parents came over on the boat. He lived in Little Italy. There was the Little Ireland or whatever, and the Little Poland. There were like sectors where it was like an ethnic group. And I actually see that to a degree. In Atlanta, it's not like you're prohibited from going into that ethnic group, but there are places where you will see a heavy population of, for instance, Indian people. You'll see heavy populations of Korean people. And when you go into, it's down in, not Marietta, Norcross, down Norcross on Peachtree Industrial, it's so many of the signs are in Korean. And if you look around at the churches, Korean Presbyterian churches. They dominate the evangelical landscape here because the missionaries that got there first, they made a really big impression. Okay, here's a church. Mitchell, South Dakota. I do believe that is the home of the Corn Palace. You ever been to the Corn Palace? Plan on being disappointed. Now, I know if you're from Mitchell, South Dakota, which is highly unlikely because I don't believe that the population is in triple digits, but the Corn Palace and Wall Drug is in another part of South. They've got billboards. Get ready. You're only 284 miles away from the Corn Palace. You're only 212 miles, 182 miles to the Corn Palace. And you get there and you go, it's a building with a bunch of corn glued to it. Huh. Corn Palace. Glad we made the effort to see the Corn Palace, there's an LGBT affirming church that was vandalized with Leviticus 18:22, which is, of course, the Old Testament prohibition about men lying with men. Don't know who did it, but that ain't the way for us to do it. We preach against. We call churches to repentance. We tell them, hey, this is what the Bible says. This is God's expectation. You are out of step. You are facilitating sin. You need to repent. That is how we engage with churches that are wayward. Vandalism, I can't quite find a Bible verse for that. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of The Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in, they assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is narrative. Narratives tell us of real events with real people in real places at a real time. Not everything we read in narratives is condoned by God, but everything we read is part of God working out His plan for the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Nice try, Jimmy. This is Wretched Radio. There's a big difference between the Corn Palace and Buc-ee's. Because during the break, what did you say about the billboards to Mitchell, South Dakota and the Corn Palace?
I said they have billboards for the Corn Palace like we have for Buc-ee's.
Yeah, but like 48 miles to Buc-ee's. Let me tell you something. Here's the difference. Buc-ee's is really cool.
It is.
It is. You ain't never been to a Buc-ee's.
Hey, I have not gotten gas when I needed it trying to make
it just to get to a Buc-ee's.
That's right.
We've done that too. Or somebody in the car really has to stop, if you know what I'm saying. Come on, we're only, look at the billboard. We're 12 miles from Buc-ee's.
Just wait.
Hang in there, kid. We got to get there. We're not stopping. We got to get to Buc-ee's. Their barbecue chicken sandwich. Oh, baby. Oh, they know how to do it there. And then they got all that different beef jerky there.
They had everything.
Oh, and you say, why y'all so excited about a gas station? You ain't never been to a Buc-ee's. I'm just telling you, I don't think anybody, a first timer, walks in and goes, really, this is it?
It's a city.
Here's what it is. Okay, so a Costco, let's just say, is about 150,000 square feet. Buc-ee's is like 25,000 square feet, and it's got all the stuff that Costco has.
The cleanest bathrooms you've ever seen.
Plus a grocery store. Plus auto repair. I mean, it's like you walk in, and it's the energy level is crazy. And if you ain't never been to a Buc-ee's, well, then you ain't never been to the South. Well, I don't know. Whoever came up with Buc-ee's, got to tell you, I would not have invested in that for two reasons. Number one, I don't have the money. Number two, it's like, wait, a super gas station?
Yeah.
And it's going to be a destination for, and people are going to buy t-shirts? I'm going to take a look at Google stock, if you don't mind. The Episcopal Church has made a decision that I didn't think was like all that shocking or surprising. But then I read about it in Not the Bee. By the way, Jimmy, not to interrupt this well-oiled machine here.
Okay.
The Babylon Bee, they did a bit that got a lot of attention. And I'm going to share it because I have difficulty focusing. I'm going to share it because I think that this is one of those parodies that I think you might conclude, I think that's crossing the line. When you do parody, I do believe that sarcasm and parody, it is a tool that Christians can use to expose fallacies. I do believe that is a possibility. Here's the line that I draw that I think is a helpful rule. If the joke somehow involves the Savior, the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Bible, you're probably getting into really shaky territory. Jimmy, did you see the woke Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me just, so that we're all up to speed and on the same page here.
If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn it off with the other also. Unless they're a Republican, then you can feel free to punch them in the face.
Okay. It's funny.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's Jesus.
Let the children come unto me, and do not hinder them, unless they might be born into poverty, or they might be an inconvenience to your party lifestyle. In that case, feel free to murder them in the womb.
Powerful. It really is. But coming from the mouth of God, you be the judge. Jimmy, cross the line or not with that one?
Yeah,
for me too. Look, that doesn't mean that the people who made this are terrorists or that they I just think with this one, and look, it ain't easy. You do parody all day, every day. And you so overall, I think Babylon Bee finds their way on the right side of the line most of the time. So for me, though, this one would be like, let's figure out another way to make a point without dragging our Savior into it. Although I'll tell you, it does slap. Slap. That's the term the kids use. Slap. Oh, by the way, I also learned this. If you're going to try to send somebody an email or a text to remind them to do something that you've already told them to do, the term for that
you're
is
doing too much.
What?
That's what my kids tell me. You're doing too much.
You're doing too much.
Yeah, that's what they say. If I remind them something, oh, I got it. You're doing too much.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that a Tennessee thing?
No, that's a Gen Z thing. And
okay, I haven't heard that one.
I'm doing too much because you're not doing enough. I already told you once.
I'm just bumping you.
Bumping you?
Bumping you.
Oh, they're bumping you down the list?
Well, I think there's three options. One could be that, you know, they're bumping you to bring it up in the list, you know, higher. So if in case it got buried. Second would be it's like they're bumping into you. third, it's a person who loves the 70s and that's the only dance they know how to do. So it, semantic range matters, but I'm just bumping you.
Okay.
Not I'm hitting you up. That's old fogey language. This is from Not the Bee, who made a story that I thought was just another eye roller into one that was a little bit more profound. The Episcopal Church has an emblem, a shield. And you've probably seen it if you've ever been near an Episcopal church, which is probably the coolest looking church in any town. And they've changed it now to incorporate pride and the rainbow. And you hear that and it's like, oh, but hey, it's an apostate denomination, so whatever. Then I read in Not the Bee, St. George has a cross. That's the emblem of the Episcopal Church shield. St. George was not English, but he was famous in Christendom. The story goes, George of Lydda was a Roman military officer under Roman Emperor Diocletian in the 3rd century, and that he chose to be executed rather than recant his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's a Diocletian was a nasty dude. And they actually had to, I don't know if it was Carthage, but they Cyprian of Carthage was involved in the debate about whether or not to allow people who had denied the faith underneath Diocletian persecution to come back into the church or not. So that part of this is accurate. So he chose to be executed rather than recant. He's a pivotal figure because his martyrdom came right before Emperor Constantine came to power, converted to Christianity and established it as the religion of the Roman Empire. He made it legal. I do believe it was the Council of Thessalonica, maybe 380, 393, if somewhere in that made it the official religion. Constantine just made it so that Christianity wouldn't be persecuted by identifying it as a legal religion in the empire. St. George is mostly known for a later legend from the 11th century onward, where he slayed a dragon and was terrorizing a city in North Africa, which is modern-day Libya. In the 1550s, under the English Reformation, St. George became the patron saint of the nation, 1550. That legacy continued well into modern times. Winston Churchill's personal aircraft during World War II was named Ascalon after the dragon that St. George killed. In artwork stretching back, a 600-year-old painting of St. George depicted him with a red cross on a white field. And now, the Episcopalian Church, this is a part of the Anglican English communion, had the St. George shield. And now they've totally obliterated it to turn it into a pride shield. Knowing the history of the importance of St. George, whether accurate or not with what he did or didn't do, that's not the point. He was English. And not he wasn't actually English, but he was brought in as he's our guy, St. George. And then Not the Bee asked this question, do you see the significance of what the Episcopal Church has done? We have now. Now, I do believe that there's another level that is exceedingly worse than just taking a shield that has a deep history in a nation that's associated with Christendom. It's the fact that you would incorporate a sin that God is really not excited about. In fact, Sodom and Gomorrah, the implication of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11 to Sodom and Gomorrah, it's going to be worse for the people in Capernaum and the people who died, who saw the miracles of Jesus, heard his preaching, and rejected him. It's going to be worse for you than Sodom and Gomorrah. What's the implication that it's going to be? We all understand it's going to be really bad for Sodom and Gomorrah because God doesn't like sin. And so when you take a sin and you slap pride on it, and then you incorporate that, sometimes using a symbol that is thoroughly biblical, and you incorporate it into Christendom, that is, in my estimation, an even bigger blasphemy than just taking an emblem that has a lot of historical significance, which, by the way, there's a big Bible study, International Bible Group, that has gotten together to study why it is that people have 90% of the world has access to the Bible, but they don't use it. And they're going to try to figure out why. Pick me. I can answer that question. It's because they're not Christians. Would you read the Bhagavad Gita if you weren't a Hindu? No, and that's why people don't read the Bible. They're not Christians. The Episcopal Church. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.